Praise God. If you have your Bibles this morning, I want to go to someone's very, very favorite set of verses. Psalm 91. I want to go to Psalm 91. I know Brother Dave back there, I think you have this memorized, don't you? Some days you have this memorized. I like the way he said that. Some days. He has it memorized. Okay, you have it memorized? Beautiful. Okay, and Donna, you have it memorized? Most of it memorized. That's good. Anyone else have been working on Psalm 91? Okay, you're working on Psalm 91. Psalm 34. Okay, you got Psalm 34. Maybe we'll teach on that, Psalm 34. Praise God. So maybe next week you can come and share a few verses from your pew, something that has really ministered to you in some powerful way. I think this particular set of verses has ministered to all of us at some point in time in our lives. And I want to share for a few moments on a, I think, a very important topic during this pandemic, and that is God's divine protection. God's divine protection. And we always have to remember that we are children of the Lord. We belong to Him. And I believe that the Lord can divinely protect us from this pandemic that's sweeping across our nation and around the world. There's a real shaking going on. You know, when you think of cities like New York City is being shaken to its very core, countries around the world are being shaken. And I think for believers, you know, sometimes we're shaken too, and we can feel to some degree the fear and anxiety that others are going through. And it can sometimes rub off on us, and we can start to be fearful, and we can start to be anxious. And that's why we have to go back to these important verses, especially Psalm 91. And I want to read 10 verses from Psalm 91. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. Wow. God is a refuge, someone we can go to, and He is our fortress. And that speaks of protection. In God, or my God, in Him, I will trust. I'm going to trust in the Lord. No matter what happens, I'm going to put my complete and full trust in God Almighty. I'm not putting my trust in scientists, right? Not putting my trust in scientists. They said, don't wear a mask. You don't need to wear a mask. Not necessary to wear a mask. Wear a mask. Wear a mask, you know. It's changing all the time. So I'm not putting my trust in politicians. I'm not putting my trust in people. I'm putting my trust in God. And especially as we get closer and closer to the coming of Jesus Christ, we need to intensify our trust in the Lord. We need to. Things are not going to get better. According to Scripture, they're going to get worse. Right? That's what the Bible teaches. We shouldn't be shaken really by what's happening, because we know the Bible says there are going to be pestilence. And the Bible says there's going to be famines. And you know what? They're already predicting famines because of what's happening around the world. They're already predicting famines. We've seen the locusts. How many have seen the locusts that have been gripping Africa, sweeping across Africa? Earthquakes. Recently, I think just this morning, a small earthquake in Los Angeles. People were shaken out of their bed. In Puerto Rico, there was a recent earthquake. The Bible predicts these things. Right? I know I sound like a broken record, but you know what? We need to know that that is exactly what the Bible says is going to happen. So we need to get ready. If we're not ready, we need to get ready. We need to warn those around us to get ready, because we don't know what the future holds. We need to put our trust in Him fully and completely. Verse 3, surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. That's what this is, folks. It's a perilous pestilence. And I don't think, as believers, we should live in fear or in anxiety. Can I say it again? I don't think, as believers, we should live in fear or under the oppressive hand of anxiety. Can I hear an amen this morning? I'm not saying we shouldn't use wisdom, but that's different than being fearful and anxious constantly. Amen? He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. What is the truth? It's God's word from cover to cover, from Genesis to Revelation. We need to understand that His word becomes our shield and buckler. Verse 5. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night. You know, by night means it comes unexpectedly. You know, during the day you're ready. At night you're sleeping. Someone says, I sleep like a baby. I said, that's good. They said, no, I get up every 2 hours crying. The terror by night is something that comes unexpectedly. You know, when you lay your head on your pillow at night and you're a child of God, the Bible says He gives us peace. Hallelujah. You have peace from God. Nor of the arrow that flieth by day. Nor, again it mentions, nor the pestilence that walks in darkness. Nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. The battle is raging all around you, but you are standing on solid ground. Hallelujah. You're standing on the foundation, which is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Can you shout amen, somebody? Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. Father, I thank You for Your word this morning. Pray that your word would have impact upon our lives, that you would minister to each one of us here today as we have gathered in this house. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God can provide protection for us. And I believe that this particular psalm is that promise that God has given to us that we can claim. And all through the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, we see times where God supernaturally protected his people. Amen? Am I saying that you'll never get sick? Not saying that. But I'm saying there are times and seasons, and this is one of them, where God can protect us if we'll believe, hallelujah, for his divine protection. Again, I'm not saying we shouldn't use wisdom. We're doing that here this morning. And when you leave here, yes, you should use wisdom. But there also ought to be faith that God is able to undertake for us. He is able to protect us. Because, you know, persecution is coming. It has already begun. You know, it's quite amazing to me that churches can't gather together, but people can pack themselves into Walmart, into grocery stores, into garden centers. But somehow the church can't gather together. They shut down a church in Ontario because they were all in the church parking lot, cars in the church parking lot with their windows rolled up 6 feet apart with the pastor standing on a podium, and they wanted to shut it down. How can you get the virus if you're inside of your car with the windows rolled up? You know, persecution is going to intensify. I know that's not a positive message, but it has to happen. The Antichrist is going to rise up. Some believe, and I believe with them, he's already alive on this earth. I'm not here to scare you this morning. I'm just here to tell you the truth. There might come a time very soon that we'll have to work together as believers to sustain each other, because we don't know when the rapture is going to happen. Satan is prowling about seeking whom he may devour. And one of Satan's methods is to oppress his people with sickness and disease. Satan wants to attack the believer and make them think or make them follow this idea that, you know what, I'm just like the rest of everybody. I'm just the same. No, you're not. You have the blood of Jesus upon you. We need to claim his divine protection. And we need to understand the authority that we have in Christ and rebuke the enemy when those thoughts begin to fill our minds, those thoughts of fear and anxiety. We need to come against them in the mighty name of Jesus and take the authority that God has given us and tell the devil to get lost. Exodus chapter 8. I want to follow this theme of protection. Verse 21 of Exodus chapter 8. Verse 21. Or else, if you will not let my people go, and again, these are the plagues that came upon the people of Egypt. Moses was sent back to liberate the people out of the grip of the Egyptians. And there was a time where both Israel and Egypt were suffering from the same plagues. But then there came a separation. And that's where we enter in to these verses. Verse 21, or else if you will not let my people go, behold, I will send swarms of flies on you and your servants, on your people, and into your houses. The houses of the Egyptians shall be full of swarms of flies, and also the ground on which they stand. Now look at verse 22. And in that day I will set apart the land of Goshen. I will set apart the land of Goshen in which my people dwell, that no swarms of flies shall be there, in order that you may know that I am the Lord in the midst of the land. Look at verse 23. This is an exciting verse. I will make a difference between my people and your people. We are God's people. Can I say it again? I want to declare it. We are God's people. The devil wants us to forget that. But I want to say it again. You and I belong to the Lord. We are the sheep of His pasture. Hallelujah. Then I'm going to make a difference between my people and your people. Tomorrow this sign shall be. And the Lord did so. Thick swarms of flies came into the house of Pharaoh and into his servants' houses and into all the land of Egypt. But if you read on, the land of Goshen was spared. There was a protective covering where God's people were. Can't we believe for that for our families, for our homes? Again, I'm not teaching that Christians don't get sick. I'm not teaching that. I'm just saying that in this time that we live in, can we move out from underneath the feet that have pressed down upon us of fear and anxiety, the oppressive forces, and begin to believe God, hallelujah, for His protective covering upon us and upon our families in Jesus' name. I want to shout it from the hilltops, from the highest mountains. Hallelujah. God is our protector. I believe there are times and seasons when God releases special provision for His people. Jesus said to many that He healed, according to your faith, be it unto you. According to your faith, be it unto you. I think it's good that many of you are reading Psalm 91. I think it's good to do that and to make that divine declaration. I think God is honored when we declare His word, speak forth His word. You know, the Muslims are not afraid. I don't know if you knew this, but during Ramadan, hope I said that right, in Mississauga, they're going to allow the call to prayer. And when I was in India, I remember the call to prayer. Blasting noise that goes through the community to call people to prayer. And for the whole month, or however long it lasts, I believe it's a month, they're going to be allowed to blare their horn and say, it's time to pray. I never thought there would be a time where that would ever happen in Canada. But it's because we've sat back. And you know what we've said? We've said, well, you know, God's in control, so everything's going to be okay. Yes, God is in control. He is. But he expects something from the church for us to join hands with him in the name of Jesus and to do battle in the heavenly realms. Hallelujah. And that's just the beginning, folks. According to your faith, be it unto you. Mark chapter 16, verses 17 and 18. Maybe we should get some bells. Ring them at 10:30 on Sunday morning. Be good. It used to be that way. Right? And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. Verse 18. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Now, I know some translations have a little asterisk beside this verse, or some have eliminated it, said it's not part of the original manuscripts. But in most Bibles, it's there. The verse I want to center in on is obvious. It's verse 18. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. Now, this verse does not give us permission to test God. Do you know there are sects of Pentecostalism that make it a regular practice to deliberately pick up poisonous snakes? It's true, you know. Yeah, and a few of them have died. That's not what this verse is talking about. It's not talking about testing God. It's not talking about going home and taking a glass of gasoline and drinking it and saying, ha, 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 I'll be okay. No, you won't. 911. That's not what it's talking about, testing God. This set of verses is talking about the protection that God gives and can give to his people when they're doing his will. Right? There are things that God asks us to do. There are places that God asks us to go. And we have to believe that if God sends us or we're somewhere, that God will protect us. If God can calm the storm, then God can also protect us from deadly poison and dangerous animals. I think someone was telling me, I think it was Brother Roy that was telling me that he had a grizzly came right up to him while he was hunting. And for some reason, the grizzly turned in the other direction, right? Stopped. Three times. That's what I'm talking about. God can protect us. He doesn't want us to live in fear like the rest of the world is. He doesn't want us to live in a state of anxiety like so many people are. They're frozen with fear. God doesn't want us to live that way. He wants us to trust in Him. Again, I'm not saying we shouldn't use wisdom. But sometimes there are dangerous things that have to be done. God says He's going to be with us every step of the way. I believe, now listen, I believe when we get to heaven, and it might not be too far from now, are you excited? Or do you love this earth so much you want to stay for a while? When we all get to heaven and God allows us, or maybe our newfound bodies will somehow give us that glimpse back over our life, we are going to see the many, many times that God has supernaturally protected us from harm and we didn't even know it. We don't always see or recognize His protective hand. Sometimes we're so busy doing things and we get caught up in things. We don't realize that God is overshadowing. Hallelujah. He is overshadowing our lives. You might have died 1,000 times. We don't know. So many things could have happened, but they didn't. Because God was there. Think about this. Have you ever thought about the things in your life that didn't work out? And you really worked hard to make them happen, but they just never took place. Do you think perhaps that was the hand of God protecting you from something? Come on, I ought to hear some big amens this morning because God does that for us. We think it's God's will. We work at it. We try to make it happen, and it's always a roadblock in front of it. Maybe it's God protecting us from something. God sees the future, and oftentimes we don't. Sometimes we think we're in a bad situation, but you know what? Sometimes we could be in a much worse situation. I want you to think about that this morning. God is protecting us. We ought to be thanking God every day for His divine... Oh, hallelujah. I'm getting excited about it this morning. How He is protecting our lives. One last set of verses, Acts chapter 28. Here's a New Testament example of snakes and poison. Snakes and poison. It's a good combination, right? Snakes and poison. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, the New King James says, a viper came out because of the heat and fastened on his hand. Lovely. What would you do if you were just getting a pile of sticks together to make a fire and a snake comes out and grabs hold of your arm? Ah! 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 I'm going to die! Call an ambulance! Call 911! Oh, my. So when the natives saw the creature hanging from his hand, they said to one another, no doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he has escaped the sea, because they landed on an island as a result of a storm. Though he has escaped the sea, yet justice does not allow him to live. But you know what Paul did? He just shook it off into the fire. Just calmly, like it was happening all the time to him. He just shook it off into the fire. You know, sometimes that's what we need to do in a spiritual sense. Something bites us and wants to attack us and wants to oppress us and wants to make us sick and wants to do all kinds of things. We need to just shake it off into the fire in the name of Jesus. And he suffered no harm. He said, well, he should have dropped dead by now. You know, venom from a viper will bring death. You know, the interesting thing about this is, it's kind of mundane, putting a bunch of sticks together. Satan comes at any old time. Sometimes when you least expect it, he shows up. Just when you're doing something mundane. Because Satan wanted to kill Paul. That's what this is really about, folks. Because Paul was on a mission. You know, Satan wants to kill you and kill me. Do you know that all of us here this morning, especially those that are praying and reading your Bible, you're on Satan's most wanted list? Come on, it's the truth, isn't it? We know that Paul would be eventually executed for his faith. But let me say something this morning. His time had not yet come. Because his mission wasn't completed. You know why? God, we're all on a mission. And if we'll stick to the mission, God is going to protect us until the mission is completed. His ministry story was not done yet. God had more things for him to do. And because of that, he was protected from this poisonous venom. I want to leave you with these thoughts. Read Psalm 91 or whatever other psalm that you have that brings comfort and strengthens your faith. And don't let the devil grip on to you with his fear and his anxiety and his oppressive thoughts. Shake that devil off into the fire. Come on, somebody. Can you shout amen today? And remember, you're on a mission. Claim his protective covering until your mission is completed. You know, I just as I close, I know it doesn't happen very often, but I think about the men of God in the Old Testament. You know, they would do their blessings for their family, go sit in their bed, throw their legs up on the bed, and just pass away. It was like, you know, it's finished. It's done. It's like Jesus said on the cross, it is finished. And then he passed away. He died. Paul says, it's now the time of my departure, but I have kept the faith. Hallelujah. Someone says, well, what if I come to church and I die? You know, there's no better place to die than in church. I'm not trying to. Really? Some people have been preaching and they died. Their last sermon. Time's up. When you're on a mission, there's a comfort to that. There's a sense of peace to that. There's a sense of determination to that. Paul knew his time wasn't up. And he wasn't going to let that viper keep him from the rest of the work that needed to be done in the name of Jesus. Friends, we are in uncharted waters. But we just need to stick together in the Spirit. Because we need the Lord and we need each other in this hour. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's bow together in prayer.